welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History with me, a festive Claire Ridgway in my lovely little headband and my Christmas onesie. A very, very Merry Christmas to you and your family and your friends. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope that Father Christmas or Papa Noel or Santa Claus has been kind to you. Now, Christmas Day is the official end of Advent and the start of the 12 days of Christmas, which celebrate the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the bells are ringing out for him here. For Tudor people, the fasting was now over, and this was a day to celebrate. Just let the bells ring out. Work for those who worked on the land would stop, and spinners were banned from spinning, and work wouldn't start again until Plough Monday, which was the first Monday after Twelfth Night. The 12 days of Christmas were a time for communities to come together and to celebrate. People would visit their neighbours and friends and enjoy the Christmas traditions. The religious celebrations would begin first thing with a mass before dawn and then two further masses later in the day. Congregations would hold lit tapers as the genealogy of Christ was sung before heading home to eat, drink and be merry. Those families who could afford a Christmas feast would celebrate it in style with foods like roast goose, turkey or beef, and brawn and mustard, which was roast wild boar. Other foods enjoyed include the Tudor Christmas pie, which was a coffin-shaped pie crust containing a turkey stuffed with a goose, stuffed with a chicken, stuffed with a partridge, stuffed with a pigeon. The mince pie, which contained 13 ingredients to symbolise Christ and his apostles. Souse, which was pickled pig's ears and feet. Meat puddings, cheese, fruit and nuts. And then sweet treats like marchpane, sugar plate, gingerbread, leech, which was a sweet made from milk, sugar and rose water. Tarts and custards. Of course, all washed down with plenty of ale or wine. Those Tudors knew how to celebrate in style, and I don't blame them after 4 weeks of abstaining from all the good stuff. And now for an On This Day in History, because I don't want you to miss out. If today is your birthday, happy birthday and Merry Christmas, I want to share an On This Day in History event with you as well. On Christmas Day 1634, in the Stuart period, a woman who'd been very prominent during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I died at the age of 91, an incredible age for the time. Her name was Lettice Blunt, but she's also known by her other married names of Devereux and Dudley, and also her maiden name of Knowles. Lettice died at her home at Drayton Bassett and was buried beside her second husband, Sir Robert Dudley, Earl of Leicester, in the Beauchamp Chapel of the Collegiate Church of St Mary in Warwick. I thought, in memory of Lettice, that I would share some facts about her and her life. She was born on the 8th of November 1543 at Rotherfield Grays in Oxfordshire. Lettice was the daughter of Catherine Carey and Sir Francis Knowles, and her maternal grandmother was Mary Boleyn, sister of Queen Anne Boleyn, making Lettice Queen Elizabeth I's first cousin once removed. When Lettice was in her teens, she was appointed to serve Queen Elizabeth as a gentlewoman of the Privy Chamber. She married Walter Devereux, Viscount Hereford and later Earl of Essex, in late 1560, when she was 17. Their children included Penelope, Dorothy and Robert Devereux, later 2nd Earl of Essex, and a favourite of Elizabeth I until his downfall and execution in 1601. Walter Devereux died in Ireland in 1576, and in 1578, Lettice married the Queen's favourite, Robert Dudley, Earl of Leicester, in secret, something which infuriated Queen Elizabeth, who referred to Lettice as a she-wolf. In June 1581, Lettice gave birth to Leicester's son, Robert Lord Denbigh. But sadly, this little boy died in July 1584. Robert Dudley, Earl of Leicester, died in September 1588, and in 1589, Lettice married Sir Christopher Blunt, her late husband's gentleman of the horse, and a man Lettice described as her best friend. Blunt, sadly, ended up becoming involved in Lettice's son's rebellion in 1601 and was executed for treason on the 18th of March 1601. Lettice's son had been executed on the 25th of February 1601. What an awful time for Lettice, losing her son and her husband like that. There was upset for Lettice in 1604 when Sir Robert Dudley, her second husband's son by Lady Douglas Sheffield, claimed that his mother had been married to the Earl of Leicester, thereby making Lettice's marriage to Leicester invalid. However, there was no evidence to support this claim, and Lettice's marriage to Leicester was deemed legal and valid. You can visit Lettice and Leicester's beautiful tomb, complete with their effigies, and also that of their little boy, Lord Denbigh, the noble imp, as they called him, at Warwick today. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapel, the Beauchamp Chapel. It's also got Robert Dudley's brother, Ambrose, in there. And oh, the tombs are beautiful. It's such a peaceful and lovely place. So if you're ever in Warwickshire, if you go to Stratford, Warwick isn't far, Kenilworth Castle's just down the road as well, so not far at all, and it's really, really worth visiting. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you have an absolutely wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.